Good morning. Wow, it's the 2nd of April already. The year of our Lord, 2018. Yesterday was April Fool's Day, being the 1st of April, but it was also Resurrection Sunday celebrated. Resurrection Day, of course, is every Sunday, and in fact, for Christians around the world, every day, because we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was crucified, dead, buried, and rose again, came forth from the grave alive, and is alive forevermore. And we know that because the Bible tells us that, because we have been convinced in our hearts of that, and because our faith tells us that. And we rejoice in that, hopefully every day of the year, certainly every time we go to church, every time we worship with believers, those of like precious faith, and certainly at least once a year, either at the traditional time of celebration of the Lord's resurrection, which is the 8th of April this year, or the 1st of April, as it was for most folks in the United States yesterday. And it was a wonderful day of celebration. It was a wonderful day of ministry. I got to hear a lot of sermons, more than normal. And yet I still didn't make it to all the places I wanted to go and to be in all the places I needed to be. I just couldn't be there. Physically, I couldn't take it. But I did get the opportunity to go to some and to hear many. And I was very happy to do that. Praise God for His goodness to us in allowing us to hear His word proclaimed in some places around the world more than we imagine. It's difficult to hear the unvarnished truth of God's Word. I had the opportunity. You did too. I hope you took advantage of that opportunity so that you could rejoice in the knowledge of the very fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here it is, the second day of April. Welcome into the month of April. Glad to have you with us. It is spring. Whether it feels like it or not doesn't matter. Spring is no longer a figment of your imagination. I talked to my daughter. We had some of the family got to come in for dinner following services on Sunday. And so I got to talk to her, and she's already got her corn in, and she's ordered her beans. And so she's ready to start planting her little garden. They bought a house in North Carolina, she and her husband and children, and so this is their first house that they've purchased, and they've got enough acreage there that they can plant a lot of corn and beans if they want to. The question's going to be, once she starts the process, is she going to want to anymore? Because with two little kids, one 2.5 and one 1/2 a year old, and a husband who works hard, 8 and 10 and 12 hours a day, and then comes home to work at the house, wow, you know, that may get a little tiresome. I don't know about you. I grew up with the Victory Garden. I grew up with the garden at home, and of course the term Victory Garden came from World War II and was still being held in the very minds and hearts of my family, even as we got into the 60s and 70s and 80s and planting our acre patch there at the house. And we always had more than enough for the neighbors and for ourselves. And my mom, for years and years and years, canned everything. And then she started freezing everything. My, my, what a wonderful amount of good homegrown vegetables that and fruit, for that matter, that my dad and mom had at our house. And so my daughter has inherited that. Certainly not from her dad, because I had little gardens. I never had a large garden. I had little gardens, and we'd raise a little bit of stuff. Rhubarb was my favorite, by the way, and I know some people don't like that. I haven't had a good rhubarb plant in years, but I used to grow that everywhere we lived, and always thought that was that was the epitome of my gardening skills. Okay, enough of that. I've shown how little I know about gardening. Psalm 53 is where we're going to be today. Psalm 53, because I was so, just overwhelmed by the the messages of the resurrection, and they started for me on Good Friday, and they continued on Saturday, and then they went on into Sunday, and of course, climaxing on Sunday with a number of beautiful, beautiful messages from God's Word. And so here I am, overwhelmed with the fact of the resurrection, with the glory of the resurrection, with the necessity of the resurrection, with all that the resurrection encompasses. And I say, Lord, what do you want me to talk about on our prayer time the day after we have such wonderful messages? And he took me to Psalm 53. Don't ask me how I get to places that he takes me, but he takes me there. And I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? And Psalm 53 came to my mind. Here I am, Psalm 53. And I was thinking, even as I was looking at Psalm 53, before I got there, I said, Lord, help me to give the message today that will encourage the believer and even the non-believer to glory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the plain truth of the resurrection. And this is where we're going to be. Psalm 53, and you know verse 1. Verse 1's been oft repeated. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. One verse today, and that's it. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, when we think about that, we see that there is a fool. And we've been cautioned in the New Testament by Jesus Christ himself not to call our contemporaries, our enemies, our friends, a fool. We're not to characterize them in such a fashion. Brainless idiot is the word that fool in that context would mean, but we're not to call someone that. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that maybe many of us have, but Christ said don't do that. Why? Because we're to let God put the monikers on people. And in this passage of Scripture, the name, the moniker, is put on the fool, because the fool is characterized by saying there is no God. And if you read further into this same passage, you can see where it says the fool has said in his heart no when God asks of him. So it's the same idea is presented here more than once, that the fool has said in his heart no to God, or there is no God. I'm not going to obey him. He's not real. If he were real, he would be almighty. If he were almighty, then I would feel the obligation to obey him. But I'm going to say no to God. And that is the definition of a fool. Well, it's a definition of a fool as well who rejects the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is found, in my understanding, in Psalm 53 as well. Verse 2 says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. They don't have to know everything, they just have to seek him. But everyone, verse 3 says, every one of them has gone back, they are altogether become filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so here I come from the exaltation, the absolute elation of the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to be reminded that it is not my duty to force the truth on anyone, but it is my duty to rejoice in the truth, to believe the truth as found in God's Word, to celebrate the truth, and to spread the truth. I don't want to be numbered among the fools, and I know you don't either, do you? Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful mercy and grace. Without it, we would not survive. Without Christ, we could do nothing, and certainly without grace and faith, we would not have salvation. And so, Father, we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask, Lord, for you to use us today in your service. Thank you for the wonderful messages, the services, the fellowships around the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the celebration of the resurrection yesterday. We pray, Father, for your working in our hearts that rejoicing would continue as we realize the truth that Jesus Christ is indeed alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Lord, help us to rejoice in that, and help us to understand your working in our lives and how you want us to help in others. Now, Father, we seek your face, and we seek your will. We want to do what you'd have us to do. We ask for your provision for us and for the ministry of WHCB, and we thank you, Father. We give you praise in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our soon coming King. Amen and amen.